Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you, my dear friends, that we are still studying our commentaries to Quran chapter 17. It just what happened there, that in verse 1 we learn about that great miracle of Muhammad, which we obviously discovered to be not miracle at all. That is when Muhammad claimed that Allah took him from one mosque in Mecca to another mosque in Jerusalem, and then he took him all the way to the seven heavens and brought him back to earth. All that took place while he was riding on what we call his supersonic mule. Then Muhammad returned to earth with his new pillar, the five daily prayers. Obviously, we discovered so far in our studies that Muhammad did not perform any miracles. As a matter of fact, as you go throughout the Quran, we discovered that every time that people asked Muhammad to perform any miracle, he simply gave excuses one after another. Like, only Allah has the signs or the miracles. Allah sent these miracles before and nobody believed in them. I am just a warner. And on with other excuses. But as I shared with you in the past, Muslims today claimed that Muhammad performed thousands of miracles, which not only goes against the teaching of the Quran, but it also goes against the reality that Muhammad was not a prophet to perform any miracles whatsoever. And we have to realize that not all the prophets in the Bible performed miracles. But we discovered so far in our study, yes, Moses performed miracles and people believed in him. Not only the Jewish, but even the Egyptians, those who were sorcerers. And Jesus performed miracles in the Bible. But the problem we see in Quran chapter 3 verse 49 and in Quran 5:110, that Muhammad claimed in the Quran that Jesus performed his miracles only with Allah's permission. So far, we talked about 30 different miracles of the 37 miracles which are mentioned in the Bible. And so far, we did not see one miracle where Jesus performed it simply because he begged God, please give me permission. But Jesus performed all these miracles by his own power, by his own strength. Add to that, sometime he performed it without people even asking for it. And we have seen a multitude of different varieties of miracles. Most of these miracles are astonishing because no one could have done that unless that someone is God or the Son of God, like what the beloved John wrote in his gospel in chapter 20 and verse 31. That is when he wrote, but these, we're talking about all these miracles we covered so far in our study, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Today we'll move on our study to miracle number 31. That is the miracle of some weird disease. I did not know too much about it until now when I investigate what type of disease is that the Lord Jesus healed the man who was sick by it. And that is what we read in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. For there we read, now it happened as he, that is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, went into the house of the rulers of Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. That is a disease, which I'll be sharing with you a little bit more about it later. In verse 3, we read, and Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? In verse 4, we read, but they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then in verse 5, we read, then he, that is our Lord, answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. Now let's talk about the disease of dropsy. As I shared with you earlier, I did not know too much about that disease, even though I have read that passage so many times in the Bible. But here is the answer. Dropsy, also known as edema, is a medical condition characterized by excessive fluid accumulation in the body's tissues. This swelling can occur in various parts of the body, including the legs, feet, ankles, abdomen, and lungs. The causes of the dropsy can include heart failure, kidney disease, liver disease, low protein level in the blood, certain medication, and pregnancy. Treatment for dropsy depends on the underlying cause and may involve medications such as diuretics, that is water pills, or elevating affected body parts. In severe cases, hospitalization may be necessary for monitoring and treatment, or simply just bring that sick person with dropsy before the master, the best physician, who just say the word and he or she will be completely healed. And that is exactly what happened here in miracle number 31, when our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ healed that man with that disease of dropsy. As we read in Luke chapter 14, verse 4, and he, that is our Lord, took him, that is a man with dropsy, and healed him and let him go. What a great miracle, and what a great miracle performer. Yes, Jesus does not need a hospital, nor doctors or any medicine. He just healed him by his own power. Once again, we need to emphasize that that miracle was performed without any prayer, as we have seen in the previous 30 miracles. Jesus just simply makes the order. He made the command, and the man was completely healed. Let's move on, our dear friend, to miracle number 32. And that is Jesus cleansed 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem. Now, the word lepers is actually mentioned in the Quran twice in the singular form. That is the word abras. The plural of abras in the Arabic language is abaris or burs. The mentioning about Jesus performing that miracle is written in the Quran twice, in Quran chapter 3 verse 49 and in Quran chapter 5 and verse 110. But notice that in both passages, Allah mentioned that Jesus will heal one leper. It is in the singular form. As I read to you in Quran 3 49, Allah said that Isa, son of Mary, said, and I heal the blind and the leper. And then he added, by Allah's permission. In Quran chapter 5 and verse 110, once again, Allah here speaking to Isa directly in the past tense, and he said, you healed the blind and the leper by my permission. Both passages are mentioned in the singular form. So obviously Muhammad did not know that Jesus will not only heal one leper, but Jesus healed 10 lepers at once. That is plural. Muhammad did not use the word abaris or burs, but he used al-abras. Just one man with that disease. Not a woman, but singly one man. That verse was written in the Quran in a singular masculine form one time. Now let us examine together what really took place in that miracle number 32, where our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers. And that is what we read in the book of Luke chapter 17, beginning from verse 11. For there we read, now it happened as he, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Do you notice what's happening here? Jesus did not touch them. Jesus did not pray for them. Jesus did not beg Allah to give him permission to do that great miracle. He just said, go, show yourself to the priest. And in their way, they become clean. What a great miracle performer. Continue with the passage. In verse 15, we read, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, that is, at our Lord Jesus Christ's feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? In verse 19, we read, and he, that is our Lord, said to him, that is the Samaritan man who was healed, who came to thank Jesus. Jesus said to him, what? Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of 2 new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share 3 facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Well, let's move on, my dear friends, to miracle number 33. That is the last miracle our Lord will perform, which caused the Jews to go ahead and make their plan for the arrest, for the killing of Christ. And here is the summary of the miracle of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. This great miracle is found in the book of John, chapter 11, which is the most significant miracle performed by Jesus. Lazarus, a man from Bethany and the brother of Mary and Martha, became ill. His sisters sent word to Jesus asking him to come and heal Lazarus. However, Jesus intentionally delayed his visit, stating that the sickness will not end in death but will glorify God. By the time Jesus arrived to Bethany, Lazarus had been dead and buried in a tomb for 4 days. Martha met Jesus and expressed her faith that if he had been there earlier, Lazarus would not have died. She also declared her belief in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus responded with one of his most famous statements, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus then speaks with Mary, who is weeping, and he is deeply moved by her sorrow. In the shortest verse of the Bible, Jesus wept, and that was John 11:35, demonstrating his compassion and his love to his friend Lazarus. Jesus goes to the tomb, commanded the stone to be removed. and prayed to the Father. Then he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Miraculously, Lazarus emerges from the tomb, still wrapped in burial cloths, alive again. This miracle not only demonstrates Jesus' power over death, but also foreshadowed his own resurrection. It leads many to believe in him, but also intensifies opposition from religious leaders who see him as a threat and begin plotting his death. Now, when our Lord Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life, and who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Wow, what a powerful statement. Our Lord is not talking about himself as a good teacher, a good prophet, or a good man, as Muslims believe and claim. He's more than that. He is the resurrection. He is the life. And if we believe in him, we'll never die. And even if we die, we'll rise in him. Martha answered Jesus, saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe in this." Specifically, she said to him, "Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she said that, she went back home to call her sister Miriam. So she said to her, "The Master is here, and he is calling you." Now, when the Jewish people saw Miriam rushing out of her home, they actually followed her because they thought that she went to the tomb, that she may cry there. But Miriam went and met with Jesus. She fell down at his feet, and she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, when our Lord Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jewish people who went with her was weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus asked, "Where did you put him?" They said, "Here, Lord, come and see." Now let us look at the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus said in verse 39, "Take away the stone." Martha said to him, "Lord, by this time there is stench, for he has been dead 4 days." But Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" After the people took the stone away, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "And here is the prayer which our Lord said before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Excuse me, what? The Father heard the Son? What did the Son say? He just started praying. And he's telling God, "Thank you that you have heard me." Listen carefully to the rest of the prayer. "And I know that you always hear me." Always? Yes, indeed. "But because of the people," not because of me, not because I need your help, not because I need your permission, not because I need your guidance. No, 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 no. The prayer here was lifted up to the Father for the sake of the people, as we continue to read. "But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Wow. He was sent from the Father. He is the Son of the Father. Jesus is the Son of God talking to his Father and giving thanks about what he's about to do, simply because that will be the evidence that the people will know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah who was sent to this world. Now in verse 43, we read, "When he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And the miracle took place when Jesus shouted these three words, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Jesus did not say, "Please, God, give me permission. Please help me. I need you." No, 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 no. Jesus gave the order. Don't forget, we just said earlier, Jesus said in verse 25, "He is the resurrection. He is the life. And he who believes in him, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in him shall never die." That is who Jesus really is. He is not praying to God to give him permission for Lazarus to rise from the dead, because he is the resurrection himself. In verse 44, we read, "And he," that is Lazarus, "who had died, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Wow, what a great miracle. And here is the conclusion after that last great miracle. For in verse 45, we read, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. And the result of that, in verse 46, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Once again, this is a miracle which causes the Jewish people to have the counsel to get rid of Jesus. But our Lord performed this great miracle with his own power, with his own strength. And when he prayed here, he was praying simply for the crowd. And because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the people believed in Jesus. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.